Hi there. Have you ever seen or observed when something happens to a toddler which they don't want to happen? Maybe it can be as simple as they don't get the ice cream they want, or maybe, a book falls on their hand or something like that. Something that causes them pain either physically or they miss out on something. And you can see them start to lose control, their lips start to quiver and they start to cry, and then they're sort of overcome by emotion, and maybe they throw themselves down in despair and they think it's the end of the world because the thing that they just missed out on, or the pain they are experiencing, seems to be the overwhelming reality for them. And then we as adults pick them up and say, "There, there, it's okay," and then we try and distract them with something else and help connect them to a bigger reality, and then eventually they calm down. And when we get to grow up to be adults, then we can often deal with things like, a book falling on our hand and hurting our thumb, or missing out on an ice cream or something like that. But then, there are bigger things that are going on, aren't there? We miss out on a job, or a relationship ends, or we've got a severe illness or whatever. And sometimes that can overwhelm us in a similar sort of way to what the small thing can overwhelm a toddler. And then, as we go through the process of life and as we get older and frailer, then even some of the things that we would have sailed through and coped with easily when we were in our middle years, they become much more of a challenge, don't they? And they can become much more consuming. And as people who are trying to trust Jesus and follow him, it can be sometimes really challenging to get through these times. And so in this short reflection, I just want to have a look at some passages from the book of Psalms, because these are poems and hymns that have been written down and rewritten down and passed on and handed down for, in some cases, 2,500 or 3,000 years. And if you're following our daily Bible reading app, you know that each day there is a portion from the Psalms to read. And I can't stress highly enough how valuable it is to read the Psalms, because they help us pray. They help us connect to God. They give us pictures of what it's like to relate to God in the realities of life. It's not all just sugar-coated and nice things that are going on there, but it's really raw and can be really real. And one of the great things that can happen as we read the Psalms is that we find the psalmist expressing in words their experience, and we find that there's similarities with our experience. So, for example, in Psalm 77, it says this: "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, 'Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?'" How raw and real is that? And these are words that made it into the Bible, into the book that's inspired by God's Spirit. And this is just so real and resonates with so many of our experiences so much of the time. And then this is how the psalmist then goes on, having expressed the reality of his current situation. "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And at first glance, these words can seem a bit weird, can't they? But again, what they are referring to is that the psalmist is remembering and looking back to the time when God rescued the people of Israel out of slavery from Egypt. And he's remembering what God has done centuries before the psalmist was writing. And he described the power and the action of God in poetic terms, and the cloud poured down water and heavens resounded with thunder. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your path led through the seas. And so here the psalmist, in the midst of his real distress, of his own wrestles, of his own experiences, this is what he thought he would do. I will appeal to the years when the Most High stretched out his hand. I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. And this is what this person found helpful for them in the midst of their distress, was that they were able to recall the bigger picture, the bigger story of what God had done in the past. And this is very similar to what we looked at last week when we were looking at the whole issue of how you deal with issues of sex in our current culture. And we looked at the fact that Jesus and Paul, when they were faced with these questions, both put them in a bigger story, within the story of creation and in the story of Jesus' death, resurrection, and our new life through him. And this seems to then also be a similar pattern here, that the psalmist isn't wrestling with an ethical issue about what to do so much, but as a personal issue of why are these bad things happening to me? And what he's found relief in is by remembering the bigger story, that God is a God who saves, that God is one who redeems people out of slavery. Now, this doesn't take away the immediate problem, but this psalm has been written down and passed down because it seems to be something that helps people. And maybe if you're in a particular situation that is described by this psalmist, this psalm is something that you can turn to and you can read and you can meditate on, and you will find some help for you in that. Just a few psalms earlier, in Psalm 73 is a similar psalm. It says this: "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills." And it goes on to describe how they're callous and sinful and scoffing and boastful and arrogant. And they say, God doesn't know, God doesn't care. And then in verse 12, "This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply." And so here we see, again, another person who's been faithful to God, a faithful follower of God, and yet they see around them wicked people who don't seem to have a care in the world, nothing seems to go wrong for them, and they keep on doing all of the wrong things all of the time. And then they reflect on their own life and think, there's a disconnect happening here. What's going on here? And then in verse 17, well, picking up back from verse 16, "When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory." Here's a remarkable thing that happened to this person who was suffering from their burdens and comparing themselves to people who didn't seem to have the same cares or burdens as them. not only did he look to the bigger story, but he made it personal. He could see that actually wicked people, there is a time where judgment is coming for them, and their parent security is actually in it from eternal perspective, not that. But also their own bigger story, like the anguish of the moment isn't the whole part of their story, but there is these additional parts of their story, which was, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand, even in the midst of the trouble. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. And so even this psalmist writing maybe hundreds of years before the death and resurrection of Jesus made it much more clear and concrete of our eternal future with God, was able to understand that their life was bigger than the immediate circumstances, was bigger than the immediate injustice, was bigger than the immediate agony. And this psalmist found that this helped them greatly. It goes on, whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. What a transformation in the inward state of this person, even though their outward state hadn't yet changed. And maybe if you're wrestling with issues like this psalmist was wrestling with issues, coming back and reading this psalm and rereading this psalm and meditating on it, you will find helpful just as people have done over thousands and thousands of years. And what we see is that it's not just with ethical issues that, like sex, that setting it in God's story helps us understand what to do. When we're going through suffering and injustice and pain and physical anguish or emotional anguish, remembering God's big story, that God created this world and he created it good. It's damaged and broken and there's sin and evil in it, but God is working in this world to make it right again. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and rise again and to grant us new life, and he's coming back in the future to make everything new again. That's the big picture. And the slightly smaller big picture is our story. It's not just in the moment, but God's created us, God has redeemed us, God's renewing us, and God will renew us, and we have a glorious and eternal future with him. And attempting to place our current troubles in that bigger frame can help, just like it did for this psalmist. Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the midst of your trouble, remember that I have won a victory and that I'm going to be completing the work that I've started. Even Jesus himself, it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Even for the Son of God, remembering the bigger picture was important in getting through the immediate circumstance. And so these psalms and many others like it can be really helpful to us. And maybe these ones don't quite resonate with you, but maybe just go through some other psalms or ask some other people, what are some psalms that they have found helpful? And find one that helps you, one that feels like connects to you and helps you put yourself in the bigger picture, that helps you recognize your reality, but expands your perspective, and you connect with God in a way that sustains you through the midst of your trial. The Psalms are such a rich spiritual resource for us. I think for many of us, they're an underused resource. And so I encourage you to think, how can I engage with the Psalms in my times of trouble, not just my times of rejoicing? And you might like to also have conversations with people you know and people you trust about your current circumstance and how we can wrestle through that and hold on to God in the midst of those, and actually find sustenance and joy, even though our circumstances may not be changing at the rate that we want them to. I invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you that you give us permission to be real to not to sugarcoat our realities when they are difficult. And Lord, you've given us models in the Psalms of people that have expressed it to you. And Lord, that you've also given us models of how people have connected with the bigger story, and that we have that they have found it helpful. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in the midst of our difficulties to connect to your bigger story, and that we would find your grace and your comfort and your strength flowing into our lives in the midst of these difficult circumstances. Lord, help us to do that better than we have done in the past. And God, we do continue to cry out to you that you would make everything new, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, and that you would relieve people from their suffering. In Jesus' name.